Would you look at me there in 1 Corinthians chapter 2? Thank you, ladies. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, the Bible here talks about the cross and the power of it. And I couldn't get away from it. I was thinking about it last Sunday. We talked about the greatest eclipse ever, and I thank God that Jesus Christ became the sacrifice that came between God's judgment and our sin. And thank God for salvation. I'm thankful for, since last Sunday, new names that have been written down in the Lamb's Book of Life. Some of them young children, some of them adults, and I'm thankful that we get to be a part of something where we see God work and God's hand move. I'm thankful that in His design and His plan, He allowed us to live in a place where we get to see totality and just enjoy the blessing of seeing God's creation. One of my biggest fears in life is to miss something God has for me. I've always been one of those guys, and I think many of you agree that you're similar, the same kind of person, that you don't want to miss something. You know, you don't want to miss your kids' birthdays. You don't want to miss anniversaries. 51 years, what an amazing testimony. Every time I go to these camps and conferences, I'm not one of those speakers that hides out in the cabin. I like to be out. I like to see what they're doing. I like to be involved. I don't want to miss anything. And as a pastor and as your friend, I fear sometimes that our church, as a church, many times we miss out on the blessings of God. We miss out on what God has for us. And listen, let's go ahead and just say it openly and clearly that the greatest thing He has prepared for us someday is a place called heaven. And we're going there someday. But I think so many Christians sometimes opt to miss out on the journey and the things on earth that literally God can make almost heaven on earth on our way to heaven in heaven. The Bible tells us that Paul was stoned to death one time in the Bible. And when he was killed, he actually died. And the Bible tells us that he went to heaven for a little while. And he came back. And it's interesting, if you study the life of Paul after he experienced heaven, it's almost like he was volunteering to die everywhere he went. He was looking, he's like, hey, which city will probably have the higher chance of killing me? That city? I'm going there. And then we'd go preach the gospel there because Paul had already experienced heaven and said, I'm ready to go back. In fact, he talks about being torn betwixt the two places, the earth and heaven, and knowing that he had a need to fill here, preaching the gospel and starting churches, but the desire to be in heaven was great and it was powerful because of what he saw and what he experienced. And 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 9 is a quoted verse from an Old Testament verse in Isaiah, which really doctrinally talks about a place called heaven, but the application can be made that this God is teaching us about a place on earth where we can experience heaven on earth. They say what's going to be amazing about heaven is this, that all of us will experience the heightening of all our senses for all eternity. While you live on this planet, there's not a whole lot of things that will heighten all of your senses at the same time. We've been given 5 senses, and some in this room only have 4. Maybe they have others in the area that are heightening, and 1 has 3. But we're thankful for the 5 senses. We all know that what a blessing it is to be able to take a bite out of a piece of pizza. Somebody say amen right there. Or a piece of chocolate cake. How many of your senses are heightened when you drink coffee? My gag reflex is heightened when I smell coffee. You know, so we all have different feelings toward that. There's probably just a few things on this planet that really heighten my senses. Let me just tell you one honest one. When I kiss my wife. Yeah. Oh, yeah. My senses get heightened when I smooch her lips. Amen. Somebody say amen right there. Not kissing my wife, but kissing your wife, okay? I know that those of us that are thrill seekers know that riding a roller coaster can definitely heighten your senses. Who are you, the crazy ones that still ride roller coasters, right? I love roller coasters. I rode several this summer at a conference I was preaching at. And my wife's matured, outgrown that, and she's smarter than me. But I still love it. There's something about going up and down and flipping in circles and all that stuff. And I my senses were heightened when I went to the Bahamas recently, got to snorkel in the beautiful water. When I see the ocean, my senses are heightened. Everybody has different things that will the stimulator heighten your senses. Paul says in 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 9, he decides to use senses to teach us something. He says in verse number 9, he says, eye hath not seen. He says, ear hath not heard what God has prepared. Meaning whatever we imagine or think could be that amazing, that could really stir our senses, it has nothing on what God has planned for us. And the very thought that this past Monday we could see an eclipse of God's creation of the sun, which think about this, over 90 million miles away the sun rests. And yet we can't gaze upon it for more than 2 seconds. And think about this, shame on us who think we can't gaze upon something for 2 seconds and yet we just casually go into the presence of the creator of that sun. I mean, the sun is a fearful thing. Several seconds of looking upon it can damage your eyes, and yet we forget that we have the privilege and the honor of going into the creator of that sun's presence anytime we want to. Listen, we need an old-fashioned revival of the fear of God in our lives. And yet as we think about the fear of God, we can be blessed to meditate on this fact that Jesus Christ came so that we can freely enter the presence of the creator of the S-U-N because of the S-O-N. So today I want to challenge all of us to live our lives in such a manner that we don't miss it. You see, when Paul described heaven, he said there is no way I can rightfully compare anything I saw in heaven to anything on this earth. And by the way, God created this earth. And this earth is amazing. It's beautiful. My daughters are kids. They can't wait to fall. I love fall because football starts. Somebody say amen right there. But I'm not a big fan of things dying. Leaves die. I like spring when things come to life. My family, they're pessimists. I'm the optimist. Just kidding. But the fact of the matter is fall's coming soon. And God's creation will obey him as his creation begins. The leaves begin to die and they fall. And then we got to go out and rake them, praise God. And then winter will come in Missouri. And it'll get cold again. And ice will come and snow will come. And then spring comes around. All of these creations are amazing. But when Paul himself came back and was asked by people, hey, Paul, what was heaven like? Paul said, okay, let me try to explain it to you. I'm trying to think of something. Let's see, I've seen this beautiful sight. And I've been on the sea. I got nothing. I got nothing. There is nothing on this planet that can even relate to what heaven has for us over there. You see, I've been to the Bahamas before. How many of you have been to the Bahamas before? All right. How many of you have been to the Hawaii before? All right. How many of you went to the only Hawaii? Raise your hand. How many of you only went to Bahamas? Raise your hand. Now, I've never been to Hawaii. I flew to Hawaii one time to change planes going to the Philippines at 1 a.m. They wouldn't let me off the plane. So I was in Hawaii, but I wasn't really in Hawaii. But if someone from Hawaii and someone from the Bahamas begins to compare notes, I believe I could get a sense of what Hawaii is like based on my experiences in the Bahamas. I can explain about the waters there, and they can explain about the waters there, and I can explain about the food here, and they can explain about the food there. And as we compare notes, I can start to get an idea or some kind of a visualization of what Hawaii might be like based on my experiences in the Bahamas. You see, sometimes we can understand things on this planet based on experiences we've had in other places, but Paul said this, the experiences of heaven, it heightened all my senses so much, 24/7, that this earth has nothing on God's presence and God's plan for us someday. Now, there's three things I want us to look at here, because before we do this, I want to look at three things. I recently read this article. My wife sent it to me about a man who has been to 20 different eclipses. And he said this. He said, I have not seen one yet up to this point that I can safely say was totality. He said he had been to 20 of them, and he said on a scale of 1 to 10, he had only experienced an eclipse that was a 9 or a 10. Most of them are 4 or 5, and this guy's an expert. And then he says, for sake of time, he says this statement. I love this. He says, the experience of this eclipse on a scale of 1 to 10 was a 100. And then he said this, watch this. He said, yes, I said experience, because I didn't see this eclipse. I felt it with all 5 of my senses. That was a neat testimony. I mean, I got excited because that guy is talking about 100. I got to see that same 100. And my God did that. And by the way, remember Genesis chapter 1 verse 16 says, and he made the stars also, just in passing, like it was boring. It was easy for God. The sky looks boring, okay? He made the stars also. In a few words, Genesis 1:16, the Bible says, your God, my God, is powerful enough. He can just decorate the sky with stars. Somebody got excited about that. Look, I know we're in a Baptist church, but somebody got excited about that. Somebody say amen right there. I mean, we got to start thinking about the blessings of God. Hey, help me now. This ain't no dentist office or doctor's office. Somebody get excited. The God who created this universe, the God who spoke it into existence, that same God says, hey, I can make an eclipse happen so that you can see his power, see his beauty, and get blessed by it, and have all our senses heightened and say, wow, wow, Jenny, wow. Sorry for why was this, but if you really want to emphasize it, it's wow. Let's do it. Come on. Come on. Get your hands like this. Wow. You can even do a little jig. Look at this. Wow. Amen. Look, there's a lot of things that make me say wow, but that totality eclipse made me say wow. People ask me all the time, what was it like growing up in a deaf home here? When your parents got mad, did they yell? No. Their hands got bigger. When deaf people are mad, signs go from here to out here. They get a whole lot bigger. But the fact of the matter is God is teaching us here in this verse through the Apostle Paul that, hey, what you imagine, what you dream of, what you think of, that God can do and could do based on past experiences of the Bible is nothing on what's to come. Nothing. So three quick things. Number one, there's a testimony worth meditating on. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 1. The Bible says this, "And I, brethren, when I came to you, came not in excellency of speech of wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of" who? God. You know what that means? Testimony of God means story of God. You see, most Christians today are so busy telling testimonies of ourselves. We love to talk about ourselves, our jobs, our families, our careers, whatever it is. I'm not against that. But Paul said this, when we start testifying or telling the testimony of God, things start happening. I'm going to challenge you today to find the testimonies of God. Look, only God can do this in 1 week's time. And I pray for them. Brother Nick right now is in that hurricane. But you had an eclipse on Monday and a powerful hurricane on Friday. All of those are creations of God. All those demonstrate, number two, I love this one, the truth. First, you have the testimony. I love number three. First, you have the testimony. Number two, you have the truth. And the truth is this. There is a power that God has that is available to all of us. The word power, people are obsessed with it. We use power in so many different venues. We need power to light this building. We need power to air condition our houses. Somebody say amen right there. We need power to heat it in the winter. We need power to run our cars. People are obsessed with human power. But God says this, let me show you what I can do with my power. God has a power that human beings can't even scratch the surface of. If you look at 1 Corinthians chapter 2 again, in verse number 5, it says, "That your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God." I'm so excited that starting Wednesday, maybe the second Wednesday of September, we're starting a new series on Wednesday nights. We won't have classes. We'll all be in here. I'll be teaching on faith. We've got to increase our faith. I think our faith is weak in America. We've got to get strong in that area. And God says, don't stand in the wisdom of men. Don't lean on the wisdom of men. Lean not unto thine own understanding, but in the power and the trusting of God. Know that God's power is available to you. His power is available to me. The same power that saved me, the same power that saved Rosa this morning, the same power that saved those 12 kids last week, that same power can help your marriage, help your strength, help your faith, help your family, help your joy, help your hope. Get back to the power of God again in America. We've got to have the power of God in our lives again. Men can be powerful, but our power is so futile compared to the power of God. And we as Americans sometimes get impressed with our American power and our American might and our American superiority and our American dominance. But the fact is, we wouldn't have any of that if it wasn't for the power of God. We wouldn't have any of that if it wasn't for the mercy of God or the grace of God. And today, my friend, I want to encourage all of us to realize we have a testimony that can heighten our senses. We have a truth, and the truth is we have the power of God that can heighten our senses. Let me tell you something, okay? I'm not spooky to talk about this. But in our Baptist churches, we almost think it's a sin to have feelings in church. Let me tell you something. I feel stuff a lot of times. When that youth choir sings, I feel it. When somebody's preaching about the Word of God, I feel it. I mean, it's okay to feel things. God gave me a feeler. Everybody got a feeler. You're going to use your feeler somewhere. You might as well use your feeler in church. Somebody say amen right there. I love that little kid in Sunday school one time. 4 or 5-year-old girl came in and said, "Teacher, you tell me that God is big, right?" She says, "Yes, God is big." "You said, teacher, you said God's bigger than me. Is that right?" She said, "Yes, God's bigger than you." And she said, teacher, if God, you said God lives inside of me, right?" And the teacher said, "Yes, God lives inside of you." He said, "Well, teacher, if God's bigger than me and God lives inside of me, won't I feel that and won't he stick out somewhere?" Isn't it sad that 4 and 5-year-olds sometimes have more sense than adults in church? Listen, we're talking about the power of God who spoke the sun into existence, who spoke the moon into existence, who put the earth exactly where it needed to be. Because if we were a little bit closer, we'd melt. If we were farther away, we'd freeze to death. But God in his power made that. He knows the hairs on our head, and his power can save you, and his power can help you. Oh, bless God for his power today. Thank God for that. Number three, and I'm done because I'm hungry. I think our favorite sense is probably taste, right? Americans love to eat. Listen, the rest of the world eats to live. Americans live to eat. You notice Americans, they set every function around food. Hey, we're going to get together. Last night, me and a bunch of men got together at the church of Brother Brad's house for an event. And first question is, who's bringing food? You got to have food. In just a little while, we're going to go downstairs and eat. Americans love to eat. And the taste, man, I've been able to taste some pretty neat things on this planet. If you've never been to Chicago, or if you've been to Chicago, you've got the experience in this year life. It's called Giordano's Pizza. Larry, you've had that, haven't you? It's life-changing. It will heighten your senses. You say, I don't know what you're talking about. Go to Chicago and eat some pizza. I was just in Philadelphia last week, and or 2 weeks ago, and we ate this Reuben sandwich. It changed my life. I'm serious, it changed my life. They had these donuts there, the special donut. It's like the cheapest donut I've ever bought in Philadelphia. It was better than anything Dunkin' Donuts ever made. It's definitely better than Krispy Kreme. Amazing donut. I mean, it changed my life. My senses were heightened. And look, you can tell I like to eat. I'm working on that in the wrong direction. But I thank God he gave us the ability to taste some things. And to be able to taste something sweet. How many of you love chocolate today? Raise your hand. Who loves chocolate now? Somebody say amen. How many of you get thrilled when you get to break off that piece of chocolate and take a bite? And just, some of you, I've seen people, I like watching people when they eat chocolate because they almost just go, It's almost like they're going off to some like hallucination. Like, you don't need heroin, you got chocolate. Somebody say amen right there. Right? I mean, you think about the power of taste. My birthday's tomorrow. That's not enough. Throw money, please. No, my birthday's tomorrow, so my wife made one of my favorite treats, Rice Krispie treats. My mama made last night her special egg rolls. If you've never had my mama's egg rolls, it'll change your life. And then my Aunt Anita made some kind of German chocolate cake, but she's from Peru and lives in Ecuador, so I don't know what kind of chocolate cake it was, but it's very good. So I had, this is a weird meal. I had egg rolls, Rice Krispie treats, chocolate cake, and pineapple sherbet. That's what I had last night. Don't judge me. It was a blessing to me. It changed my life. And every one of those things tasted so good when I put them in my mouth. Let me tell you something today, church. God said through Paul the Apostle that if you can experience some of the most amazing things that I've tasted in your life, that I've literally tasted your taste buds that you can't forget, you remember them. They touched your taste buds right there in that tongue, and you still remember those tastes. God's saying, listen, that has nothing on what I have planned for you, not just in heaven, but here on earth. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 9, and I'm done again. It says here in verse number 9, it says, but as it is written, I have not seen, nor ear hath heard, what hath entered in the heart of man, the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. Hey, listen, God has prepared things. What does that mean? An abundance of things. Things, plural, can mean a whole vast of things. And boy, that's where the car, hallelujah, praise the Lord. Woo! Hey, God prepared it for you and me. He says, all you got to do is come taste. Taste. When I first read that, I'm through. I didn't know that I could taste the solar eclipse. I felt it. I saw it. I heard a reaction. But to taste it, then I started to realize I did. The experience actually literally touched my spiritual taste buds. I don't think the subject of taste here is talking about tasting a piece of chocolate or a delicious pastry. It goes back to what the Bible says in this psalm. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. First of all, today I'm done. Don't miss heaven. Don't miss it. I'm not going to ask, but in a good-sized crowd, there's probably a few that missed the eclipse. And all I can say is I'm sorry. You missed it. But that is nothing on heaven. If you're discouraged, let me encourage you. In promise of the Bible, God said someday we're going to heaven. If you've been saved, heaven is your home. And not, it won't will be, it is right now at your home. But on our journey to heaven, stop. As your pastor, as your friend, don't miss what God has for you. God has daily things that you can taste. Because of that testimony, and because of the truth of his power, that will make us say, you know what? I don't want to miss it. I don't want to miss it. Don't miss it today. Don't miss it. Head bowed, eyes are closed. Thank you for listening so well.
Father, and for all the